I know it's a little late, but it's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is, yes, I am back, and it is day after Christmas. That's Santa going. That's, in case you didn't know, that's Santa's on his way back to the North Pole, if you believe in Santa. I don't. Well, I mean, he was a real person. Kris Kringle was a real person. Yeah, a little story, backstory there. I'm not going to talk about that. I do want to talk about a few things this morning. And one of the things I want to talk about a little bit is kind of an interesting thing. A little side note. It's not anything to do with politics. Well, it's kind of, it has to do with society and politics a little bit, I guess, but not so much. Not so much on anything else, really. But I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. It is currently 9:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. I was here yesterday for Christmas, not because of family, but because guess what? Because of work. I had to kind of change my days around because of a wedding last weekend with my wife's side of the family. There was a wedding. I needed to be at that wedding, and because of that, I was willing to exchange those days for that I needed to work that need to get some work done. So I exchanged those days for working over Christmas. Basically, their family had their Christmas gathering for that weekend, and then we have my side of the family is gathering this Saturday. So I got that weekend off, which seems to work pretty well. Now next month. I have a very interesting schedule, and it's a little wackadoo, crazy. A lot of traveling involved. A lot of time spent in Chicago, probably. Way it's going to turn out, but I do have, unless I can change some things around, just have a very interesting schedule. Pretty much every week, it looks like I will be able to maintain my, my ability to maintain the schedule. I need to do something here real quick. I need to do that. Let's just do that. What was I going to say? In my cup, I got too many things going on here. In my cup, I have some chai. I actually brought some chai with me on this trip so I could enjoy some chai. I knew I was going to have a little bit of a long layover here in the Jacksonville area. Tomorrow morning, I start a little bit later in the day, believe it or not, from Springfield, Missouri. And I have to go through Washington, D.C. today. Possibly have to go through Dallas just because of the way the connections are working out to get out of here and to get to Springfield. It's going to be a very interesting day. Let's just put it that way. I'm probably not going to get until about midnight tonight. But I have this chai here with a little bit of powdered creamer, which I believe is a little bit better than that liquid stuff. And then I have in my backup cup today, I have, believe it or not, I have a Hardee's sweet tea. It was the only thing open I could find yesterday for lunch here in the Jacksonville area, the area I'm in. A lot of restaurants said they were open on the map, but nothing was open. So I did quite a bit of walking yesterday, mostly because I wanted to get out and walk. It's nice weather here, nice walking weather. And I ended up with this, stopping at a Hardee's, not an Arby's. Arby's and Hardee's are going to merge, and they're going to call it Hardee's. I should do that. Maybe I should just buy both of them and merge them. The Hardee's restaurant has, and this is Jacksonville, Florida, so of course they have good sweet tea here. Every place has good sweet tea. You can't go anywhere. Of course, if you just ask for tea, they'll give you sweet tea. They don't even bother asking you whether you want sweet or not. It's just because that's normal. Normal tea is sweet tea. If you ask them if you can get unsweetened tea, they'll look at you kind of funny and say, you must be from the North. You must be one of them Yankees down here. So we have a couple things here. It's just been a good morning. It's been a good morning. I've already been out, had my breakfast at Cracker Barrel, did my workout. I might do another quick workout before I head out today just because I'm not going to get anything else done today. But we'll see how that all goes. It all depends on how much I eat. I try to work out before I eat, so I feel better about eating mass quantities. And I try, the harder I work out, the better I feel about eating. It just, For some reason, I just feel like I'm justified in eating more because I worked harder. So I should be, I probably should be nonstop working with the way I eat. But the because I eat nonstop, so it's just, it's one or the other. Either working or I'm eating. I eat one of the two. I got to be doing one or the other. You know, it's a mess. So I have before me my cup. I want to talk a little bit about a few political things before I get into anything else. I'm a little bit disgusted, I guess, by, and I'm not surprised. The left-wing media right now is still doing this. They're just still trying to gaslight people. And look, people are just done with CNN and MSNBC. The vast majority of, especially independents, they're just done. They're not believing the crap anymore. They're not believing the, you know, this, all this malarkey. Think where we would be as a nation right now if the lamestream media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, and even the ABCs and some of the others, were to get on board right now with the idea that our country needs to come together and make the country great. We have got a coalition government right now. We've got people who used to be Democrats, always voted Democrat. Elon Musk was a Democrat. He was their guy. He was their hero for making these electric cars. Everybody thought he was a wonderful person for all the innovations, the electric car movement, and everything he was doing. Now they're calling him the evil villain. It's President Musk now. President Musk, because Donald Trump has seceded and he's all worried. They got all these stories now about how Donald Trump's feeling threatened because he's afraid Elon's going to take over as president. He's not going to do that. He can't do that. He wasn't even born here. It's just the ridiculousness of these people. And they continue to gaslight everybody. So listen to what Donald Trump said. He said this from the podium the other day, talking about how, you know, Elon Musk isn't the president. He's not going to be the president because he's scared. He's rattled. He's scared about it. He's not rattled. This Donald Trump rattled. Yeah, okay. The guy gets shot in the ear, stands up, says fight, 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 comes back the next day, goes through less than a week later, he's at the Republican convention. He's rattled. Yeah, he's rattled by somebody saying that Elon Musk is going to take over as president. This is how ridiculous these people are. People just aren't listening to them anymore. They've doubled down on their rhetoric. They've doubled down on this idea that Donald Trump's as soon as he steps into office, he's still an evil person. Now they're already coming up with all kinds of schemes about how January 6th, which is when we're supposed to do the count on the Electoral College, of course, that's the day that's supposed to happen next year. Just less than a month here. And they're already talking about how the whole, you know, Speaker Johnson and all this other stuff. There's a coalition of people going against Speaker Johnson right now in a very strong way. I'm not sure if we're going to have a Speaker of the House. Now people talk about, the chaos, the Republican Party is, you know, tearing itself apart. No, the Democrat Party is torn apart, and it's tearing itself apart. And the more it continues to go off the deep end, the more they continue to tear themselves apart. Now, they can kind of be the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. They can kind of get together and kind of unify under that banner, but that doesn't last very long. Because at the end of the day, your enemy of your enemy is still your enemy. And all you have is enemies. That's not a unifying factor at the end of the day. Because eventually you're gonna defeat one enemy, and the other enemy is going to be still there. Kind of like what we ended up with the Soviet Union with, at the end of the war. I believe it was MacArthur, so we should just keep on going. Defeated the Germans, we should just keep on going to get the Soviets. Just go ahead. And of course, then we ended up in a Cold War for how many years? So the point being here that we have a all they know, it's all they know. Their only strategy, their only MO, their only standard operating procedure is to besmirch, belittle, to, you know, throw all kinds of accusations, rhetoric, propaganda, hyperbole make up stories, and just throw the stuff out there day after day after day. And that's all they know. That's all they can do. And I personally believe the American people, by and large, have the momentum is going away from that. And people have discovered more about independent media, you know, podcasts like this one and a thousand others that are just like this one. And they've had it with all this stuff. So I believe we are entering a new era where hopefully the media moguls will have lost some of their power. Now they'll try to get it back. They don't like this. My understanding is that they're starting to buy into, they're starting to start, you know, the big money that was supporting MSNBC and CNN and all this other, they're now throwing their money behind, you know, people that like some of the shills that were on the left. This one kid, I can't think of his name right now. He was this young kid, 20-something, early 20s, college age, is a total shill for Joe Biden. Just talking about how wonderful and great Joe Biden was. Joe Biden was the most perfect president ever. Spouting off all kinds of, you know, the economy's never been better. It's never been better. Everything's never been better. We're living in a utopia. Joe Biden's the perfect president. He was just out there constantly shilling for the president. Of course, then when it all fell apart. I still, you know, you got people one day telling us how cogent. He's cogent. Start your recorders because I'm going to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. Joe Biden, it's the best version of Joe Biden ever. And 2 days later, Kamala Harris is the greatest presidential candidate ever. And no discussion about Joe Biden and how great he was. The world saw how terrible he was at that debate. Well, he had a bad debate. He had a cold. Well, heaven forbid we should get into a conflict of some sort while the president has a cold and he can't operate properly. I still believe, and I don't, you know, we got a couple weeks here before January 6th. I know that they're talking about, there's a lot of people on the left who want to see Joe Biden step down prior to January 6th. They're pressuring the president to do that because they don't want to have to see Kamala Harris, who was the candidate, to see her have to put up with the humiliation of counting the votes. And of course, there's some like Jamie Raskin, some other people who are, you know, supposedly constitutional scholars. These people are constitutional homewreckers, is what they are. They read parts of the Constitution and they have their own spin on it, and they come out with it and act like they're some kind of authority on the Constitution. Supposedly, they make up all this stuff all the time, and it's constantly happening. So we're going to have to see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. I don't think they wanted to have any major scandals before Christmas. They may want to wait till right after the new year here. I have the feeling in the next week, possibly two, we are going to see some. And it might be right after January 6th. I just think it's going to be before January 6th. Let me just put it this way. There's an 80% possibility something's going to happen with Joe Biden as the president, in terms of him stepping down or resigning, whatever's going to happen there, or something else functioning where Kamala Harris doesn't have to act as the vote counter for the Electoral College. I would not be surprised at all if she steps in as president before January 20th. I would not be surprised at all. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm not saying it's 100%. I'm not saying it's absolute. What I'm saying is I have a very strong opinion that they are going to do this. They're going to do something with Joe Biden prior to January 20. That's just my opinion. Now, the catch-22 there is if she steps in, that's considered a term. So she could only be a one-term president. If she ran again in 28, that would eliminate her from being a two-term president, which I think that they would probably try to get around that. But I think that they would probably have to do something with that, because everybody right now, there's all this, everybody had themselves so convinced that she was such a wonderful person Do they think she's run again in 2028? I think there's a whole other group of people in the Democrat. I think the Democrat Party is being torn apart by that whole idea too, because some of them are so bought into the rhetoric about her, the narrative that she was so wonderful, that they're going to have a hard time. You know, right now they're still kind of hung over from that effect. Now, having said all that, I want to talk about something a little bit different. You probably hear the sirens in the background. They're coming to get me. They finally figured out where I am. In case you didn't know, that's why I'm traveling all over the country, because I'm running. Anyway, I'm on the lam. I don't know where that term ever came from. We have, I forgot to look that up to figure out where it came from. Totally left turn here. Just total left turn. But I'll circle back. I'll circle back on this. Get back to you. I'm gonna circle back. Like Jen Psaki. Psaki. He had interesting stuff here. I was just happy to be kind of plunking around through some things online on YouTube, and just happened to run across this thing about the Wizard of Oz. Now, I grew up watched The Wizard of Oz when I was a kid. I'm sure my dad probably was cringing the whole time that I was watching when the kids would watch The Wizard of Oz. We weren't really sure what it meant, and nobody ever talked about it. And the older you get, it was just kind of a fascinating story when you're a kid. It's just kind of, oh, wow, it's cool. Oh, yeah, it's Tin Man. Oh, it's a heart. Oh, it's all about courage and heart and brains, you know, and stuff like that. And you don't think about it that much. After a while, you get older and you're just like, whoever wrote this story must have been on crack. I mean, who comes up with these? What kind of weird story is this? So you got the modern versions of it, like Wicked. You got all kinds of other things that are different, and all this other stuff. Interesting stuff. It's just interesting where the story goes. Now, nobody talks much about where the original story came from. This whole thing. You know, the book itself was interesting, but I guess the movie is what really put it over the top. Was her name Dorothy? Dorothy was her name, or her real name in real life, who committed suicide later. In fact, a lot of tragic things happened behind on the set as well as afterwards to a lot of the cast. It's a very, very dark thing. However, the guy who wrote this story, there's a very interesting past regarding the whole thing, and very interesting, just very interesting with regard to what everything represents. The straw man, for instance, apparently represented the farmers. The tin man represented the working class. And the lion, tiger, whatever it was, lion or tiger, whatever it was, represented the politicians that spoke a big, they talked big, but they didn't actually do anything. I would say Bernie Sanders is one of those. He talked a lot of talk, got a lot of people riled up, fighting this, Democratic socialism. I'm going to go after the big companies, millionaires, and billionaires. And then he ended up falling right in line behind the establishment. He's all anti-establishment, and then he falls in line with the establishment. And what the Democrats failed to understand, still to this day, is that most of the American people are against the establishment. They just are tired of the establishment. And I think if people really understood, even people on the left, the radical leftists, understood that they're just basically shills and pawns for the establishment, if they really understood the way they're being used as useful idiots by the establishment, they would be anti-establishment as well, but they don't understand they don't even know how to define the establishment. They think they're part of the movement, part of the resistance. And they're actually a part of the establishment. Majority of Americans, I think, are sick and tired of the uniparty system, the establishment, the status quo. Just keeping things going as they are. Now, having said all that, I do want to say we have a very but not now. So let's get back to the story. The So the Wizard of Oz, there's a lot of things, there are a lot of symbolisms, even in the story of the, like the Emerald City. They were wearing glasses, they put on these glasses, and the Emerald City looked like, because they put on these green filtered glasses, everything looked like it was emeralds. No, they're very precious emeralds. And they weren't at all. If you take the glasses off, nothing looked green at all. It was just all just a regular city, but everything looked like it was made of emeralds. The Yellow Brick Road was a golden road. The Silver Slippers, it was considered that this was at a time when there was a big, back in the day when this story was written, it was all about the difference between the gold standard and the silver standard. The silver standard was considered a common man's metal because it was more plentiful. So the silver, and this is why the banks basically control the price of silver now. That's why the price of silver doesn't change much anymore. It goes up and down a little bit, or they'll once in a while they'll fluctuate on it just to kind of get a quick influx of cash. You know, the way they manipulate the market, and then they kind of step it up a little bit just when they get their opportunity to do so. It happens continuously. This happens once every there goes in so many cycles, and it's just kind of. But the gold is really the gold standard is really the standard the rich people want to go with. The reason being, now think about it. I think it was back. Was it Teddy Roosevelt? I think it was Teddy Roosevelt, or maybe it was FDR. There was a time when they confiscated all the gold in the country. You weren't allowed to have gold. Confiscated it all. How in the world did they get away with that? I would never allow that to happen. I don't have gold bars or anything, but if I did, you just drew the line in the sand right there. No, we're not doing it. No, you're not coming to just take my stuff. Well, we're going to pay you a fair share. No, not with paper. You're going to give me paper for something that's materially useful. I use paper as kindling to start my fires in the fireplace. Now, unless it's printed by the government, I don't do that, of course, because it's not. I hear people always talk about, well, this is just a piece of paper. It's not, it's all just a piece of paper. Well, then just, if it's not worth anything to you, just give it to me. They won't do that, because it still is worth something, because you can pay your taxes with it, and you can buy things. It is still a fungible commodity, I guess you want to call it, whatever it is. It's a certified piece of paper. It doesn't stand for anything anymore. So this is where we're at with this whole thing. So this whole story actually has a lot more behind it, a lot more to it than what most people realize. And so it's been very interesting. This whole thing is like this little documentary. It took about an hour to go through, a little less than an hour, I guess. But it was very interesting. And there's a couple different theories on a couple of the different symbolisms and what this might mean, what that might mean. But it became very obvious. There's a lot more going on with this whole story than what we're just some kind of whack-a-doodle little cartoonish story kind of thing. It's just a lot more there. And this is usually the case with most artistic things. Speaking of art, and I want to go down this road a little bit too. As recently, there was this. I think I talked about this the day after it happened, and I've continued to get more comments out of this. Probably get more comments from this particular comment that I made on a YouTube. It might have been a short, actually. I don't know if it was an actual video. I've had more comeback statements from this, from one statement I made. The video was about this lady who had a cup, and her little decorative cup had all kinds of candies and stuff in it, and it was kind of what do you want to call it? It was like a little party cup type thing. It was probably maybe a 16-ounce cup of some kind, and it had this little clear top on it, hand-packed with all kinds of little candies and stuff in it, and trinkets. And she's selling this thing. Well, this marketing guy was asking her questions about it. So here's your competitor. He put the other two or three competitors out there. She said, what's the difference between yours and theirs? Why should I buy yours and not buy theirs? Well, it's hand-packed. She had these reasons, and like she said, it's hand-packed. He goes, consumers don't care about that. That's not something they care about. They don't care if it's hand-packed or not. Why should they buy it? She didn't have a reason. She didn't have any answers. Now, I put in there, and I think one of the points that this guy was trying to make in this video was you have to know your product, and you have to know your, better yet, you better know your competition. You've got to know what your competition is out there in the world. If you're thinking about launching a business, especially if it's a local business, like a service business of some kind, you better know who all's doing the work in the, like, let's say you're going to offer a cleaning business, office cleaning business. You better go around and find out who's cleaning people's offices. Who are the cleaning businesses in the area, the office cleaning businesses in the area? Are they specializing in cleaning offices and you're going to specialize in cleaning offices? That's all you're going to do. Are they specializing in it? Are they doing other things as well? Are they a bigger company? Are they, you know, what kind of prices are they charging? Is it viable for you to even consider going into that business if you can't get a part of the market share? You have to look at what your competition is doing. If there's a niche that there's nobody out there cleaning offices and somebody, you know, they're begging people to clean offices and they can't find anybody, now you're talking. Now there's a need. Now there's a lack of supply and you can provide that supply. You have to know what's out there, whether the price is viable, whether you can even run a business and charge enough, you know, what's the person willing to pay to have their office cleaned? You gotta know that kind of stuff. You better do your research before you start launching into just buying cleaning equipment, going out there and thinking that you're just putting your shingle out there and thinking people's going to call you. You've got to know your competition. You got to know your market. But more than that, you got to know your product. When people call, they call your competition, they say, well, you know, we do this, we offer this, we put all this in, we'll make sure we put a bag in every trash, you know, new trash liner in, we do all this stuff, we clean around the, you know, this and that, we do this and that, we have all this equipment we'd use to clean this and that, we have a steam cleaner, we clean out your vents, we clean out, you know, whatever it is that they do when they come in to do a standard cleaning. And they call you and they say, well, yeah, we clean the place, no, we'll clean it. Well, what do you use to clean it? Well, we got a vacuum cleaner. What kind of vacuum cleaner? I don't know, it's just a vacuum cleaner. The thing, you have to know your features and benefits. Now, you may not have to tell everybody features and benefits, but especially when it comes to a service business or something like that. Now, I made the example when I made my comment, I made the example of talking about a hammer. So, this is something I learned back when I was 17. I had a very, actually I was 18 years old. I had a very good guy talking about marketing, and he was talking about how you sell something. And he was talking about cars. He said, told this story about how he went in to buy a car. And he said, I know I want that car. I want that car. I'm going to buy that car. But I want you to sell me that car. I'm just going to walk in here and write you a check. He said, I want you to sell me that car. If you can sell me that car, I'll buy it today. And the guy just kept saying, oh, it's a great car. It's a good car. It's a really good car. You got to buy that car. It's a really good car. You'll be happy with that car. You know you want it. You're going to like it. Just might as well buy it. The guy said, you're not selling me the car. So I said, there's a lot of cars out here that are great cars that are cars that I could buy. So why should I buy that car? He was looking for features and benefits. He was looking for that guy to have educated himself on that car and not just be sitting there getting a commission for nothing, for doing nothing. Because he wants to see that salesperson invested his time in knowing that car and being able to sell it. Knowing what kind of tires it has on it, what kind of mileage, what kind of warranty it has on it, what to expect for gas mileage, all the other things about that car, you know, it happened to be a sports car. You probably want to know your top speed and horsepower and some of those kinds of things, maintenance intervals, some other things like that, front wheel drive, rear wheel drive, standard automatic, whatever it was, just some basic knowledge about the car. And this guy couldn't do it. So he didn't buy the car. He walked out. Went down to a different dealer in a different town. The guy sold him a car. He took that car, drove it back to that other dealer, pulled in with the car. He walked up to that other guy, and the guy said, hey, are you ready to buy the car? He goes, no, because I bought that one out there. I parked in the parking lot. I bought that one from your competitor down the road. Just wanted you to see what happens when you can sell a car. And this is kind of mean, really. It's kind of rude, actually, in some ways. But I guarantee you, that guy learned a lesson that day about sales. And this is the guy who was telling us about marketing and sales. You've got to know features and benefits. Now, there are some items, and it depends on what item you're selling. But I've gotten more comments, and just people say, no, all you have to do is, people buy on emotional stuff, they just buy emotionally, all you have to do is say, no, then they compare it to the president. Oh, all Trump says is it's the greatest car, it's the greatest car, it's the greatest car. No, it's That's not the point. The point is you need to know those things. Some people will buy on impulse. Good for you. You'll sell a percentage of things that you have. If you're a salesperson, you will sell a certain percentage of things. People will come, especially in today's world, they'll come in already educated on the product, and they know they want the product, and they'll buy it from you. Because a salesman typically doesn't get commissions on a lot of things today. But any kind of commission sales like that, you better know what you're doing. Because there's a reason there's a commission, because they don't want you to work to sell it. Selling appliances or whatever you're doing. My point is, we're coming into the new year, and it's time to educate ourselves on what we're trying to sell, on our whatever we're trying to do. And that's all I got to say about that. I hear my music kicking in, which means my 30 minutes is about up. Well, thank you this year. I probably will have a show tomorrow morning, by the way, from Springfield, and talk a little bit more about what has happened this last past year. We're going to be looking at what's happened the past year. As we get closer to the new year, I'm going to be talking about what to expect in the year to come. So, in the meantime, folks, God bless. Have a great, wonderful day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Take care.